Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Retronauts Micro. Today's topic is Virtual Bart. Don't ask me why. I'm your host, Bob Mackey. Who else is here with me?
Dino Bart lover Henry Gilbert.
I'll accept it. And who else?
And who could forget dear Pig Boy?
Pig Chris Boy. So in case you don't know, we are the Talking Simpsons crew also, and we do the podcast Talking Simpsons every Wednesday on the Laser Time Podcast Network, TalkingSimpsons.com. Mm. It's a chronological exploration of The Simpsons. You probably heard me say that a million times by now, but I'm just pointing that out in case you don't know. And in the past, we've gone over some of the more notable, and by that I usually mean notably bad, Simpsons games. And since we did Bart's Nightmare about a year ago, I decided, let's do Virtual Bart. And boy, I think I made a mistake.
Yeah, I made a huge mistake. Yes, the famous line from The Simpsons.
Oh, right.
But this one's weird. This one took the wrong lessons from Bart's Nightmare.
It did.
Mini games that are worse.
Which I'm going to guess, because, you know, in hindsight, that doesn't matter at all. Krusty's Super Fun House is the better game than Bart's Nightmare, but they released in the same year. But I'm going to guess Bart's Nightmare outsold it because it is more Simpsons-y.
It has Bart in the title.
It has Bart in the title.
As most of the games did around this time.
And Krusty's Fun House could have been any character. It's barely Simpsons-related.
And it was based on an existing game. Yeah, so.
Because to kids, the brand was Bart, not The Simpsons. Yeah. You wanted a Bart t-shirt. You wanted Bart pajamas. You wanted Bart bed sets.
I wanted to be Bart.
But I think at this point in the show, Homer was the star. I mean, after season
94?
2.
94? Yeah. Oh, for sure, yeah.
But, I mean, the premise of the game makes sense given the time it was made in 1994. We've only just had viable VR home experiences, like mass-market VR devices. In 94, it seemed like it was just around the corner. We had barely entered the world of 3D gaming, but everyone just thought VR would naturally be happening before Y2K.
We were all using our U-Force and Sega Activator.
Yes, I was watching Lawnmower Man on a loop.
I know, this is too... I mean, the apparatus Bart gets put in this game is straight from Lawnmower Man.
Oh, yeah. you're totally right, yeah.
It's exactly... And we all thought that was going to be the future. Chris... on a separate podcast, was just talking about the Community episode that parodies this era of VR when people thought, instead of opening a window, you'll grab a folder.
You'll climb a ladder and yank open a folder and pull out that file.
Or you'll get in line in a digital store holding your digital item,
Which is also in the video game, the Shin Megami Tensei spinoff. What was the name of that one?
Devil Summoner?
Devil Summoner.
It's sort of like you may have experienced it in both Microsoft Bob, which my parents got, or PlayStation Home, which tried to gamify an operating system. Like, you'll walk into your room with your trophies. Like, it'll take 90 minutes to load that sequence. Why would I do that?
Why would I? Well, I mean, that's also why the Kinect is, like, for real dead.
Yeah.
It's like they thought,
you'll go to the
movie
theater and
watch trailers. Once
you want
to lift your arm up to do this, like, no, I don't.
No.
They made the mistake of expecting people to take a lot more effort to do simple things. That's never fun, even if it is novel. But, I mean, that's essentially what this era of VR was all about.
Yeah.
And I can say that I've never experienced any of these firsthand, but in the early 90s, VR was basically just, like, overpriced arcade experiences. The one game that is the most notable is Dactyl Nightmare.
Wow.
To the point where it was parodied on TV because it was just the VR game you would see in your arcades. I never saw it, but there's an entire episode of Freakazoid that's a parody of that game.
Whoa.
Where Freakazoid and Cosgrove are trapped in Dactyl Nightmare.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It was one of the most expensive arcade games I'd ever played, and it's so mad scientist-y. It's like a helmet you pull down from above. So you don't walk, but you can turn in real time.
Yeah, I think you're like strapped in with gloves and maybe even boots. I'm not even sure, but it was very cumbersome and I'm sure it was very expensive. Maybe a listener out there can let us know how much it costs, but that was sort of the VR experience of this age. I don't know if there are any viable home VR units before like 5 years ago, but I can't think of it. It felt like the technology just sort of froze for a while or just sort of like went on the back burner.
It's odd that the accelerometer, the cheapness of the accelerometer is what led to VR as we know it now. I was just talking to friends who buy their kids $15 sets that you just stick your phone in and they're VR equipped games and it just works fine.
They're technically VR.
They're technically VR.
I've seen that too at I call it like the deadbeat dad section of Walgreens.
That's exactly
when you go into Walgreens.
Is.
Yeah, it's where it's where the toys are that your dad is just like, oh shit, it's his birthday.
That's exactly who gave it to me.
You can also get a bunch of panties and a candy cane in case you fuck up with your wife.
Exactly, yeah.
It's just like, oh boy.
And I've seen the home VR things in there too, of like $50 you get VR, which, you know, 10 years ago would have been, well, $50 you get basically Wii Sports, you know.
It's weird. It does work to some extent. It's not as satisfying as Oculus or PSVR or Vive.
But it's a fraction of the price.
It is.
So, yes, we've explained the sort of virtual reality craze of the early to mid-90s before people sort of forgot about it for a while. But so getting into Virtual Bart, I do want to say who made the game. Salt Lake City's own Sculptured Software, who made Bart's Nightmare. And this game is very much patterned after Bart's Nightmare.
Yeah, trying to look at their history, they're just one like an acclaimed do-boy. They worked on every WWF game for them.
Nothing
and
good,
Mortal
really.
Kombat. Well, in the NBA Jams, they eventually turned into that Iguana company.
Oh,
or, like,
they're the
Iguana
people. They were,
Acclaim changed their name to that. I think there was another Iguana studio.
Oh, okay.
But you've seen their logo before.
Oh, yeah. Before Turok.
MK1 and 2, they're...
Yeah, they at least did a good enough job porting the MK games.
But it's nuts. Like, they made so many games, and many of which you play in... may not like, even like one of the Ren and Stimpy games, but it's almost no original property. The good games they have are adapted arcade ports.
I will say
that shouldn't even count. Like,
there are bad ports, so they had their shit together enough, but they weren't good at making new ideas. And this game is an example of that, where so Bart's Nightmare, go back to our episode about it. In case you forget, there's a hub world that's weird, and then you go into these different randomly chosen mini games, and you have to beat them all to, you know, get the highest grade and, you know, win the game. This is just like that, only all the mini games are worse, and there's no interesting hub. It's just sort of, you're on a sort of Wheel of Fortune spinning VR wheel, and the game is chosen for you randomly. Or I guess you can figure out a way to stop it on the one you want, but it's still just like, there's not even the work put into making. I mean, the hub world in Bart's Nightmare kind of sucks.
Insane.
But it's really cool to play with. Like, all the different interactions you can have is neat, and I like how surreal and trippy it is.
I think that was our conclusion. In terms of making a game that's a dream, it's very effective, because it's kind of maddening.
Yeah, it actually reminds me a bit of, like, how I would compliment Sopranos for, like, oh, their dreams are pointless, like your regular dreams. Insane deal.
There's that hub world in Bart's Nightmare is David Lynchian to a fucking T. Weird saxophones, people speak backwards, frogs kiss you. It's insane.
Yeah, though we also talked about we talked about this a little with an executive producer on these games, Paul Provenzano, on a classic patreon.com/TalkingSimpsons interview. And he talked about how, like, these games, like Virtual Bart among them, were made for hire. Like, Acclaim didn't care. They spent the money on license, so they go to the lowest bidder to make the game so they can make the most profit off of it. The big pay was the license.
He sort of implied it's what made Fox want to start its own studio, so maybe it could wrangle quality.
It keeps quality more under control, you keep it inside, and you don't, it's cutting out a middleman. Like, why constantly meet with Acclaim to tell them
to give them money, no, to give
Pig
money to
Bart
someone
would
else
be drawn this way when you can just say it internally.
So the plot of this game is even more threadbare than Bart's Nightmare. Basically, it is the science fair from Duffless, the season 4 episode Duffless. Bart wanders through it and goes into a door and ends up the unwitting victim of a VR experiment. I don't know from who. Martin should have been like the villain in this or something like that, or one of the super friends. Not created yet, I don't think.
No, they were not in 94. Yeah. Frank, maybe, I guess. He was around.
Yeah, but
they
didn't
think... Or Dr. Marvin Monroe. It should have been him.
They didn't even
Monroe
think,
box.
They didn't even think that far as to who's doing this to Bart. Should there be a final encounter
There's
level?
No time left.
Well, no.
We got to hit the release week for Christmas.
I don't want to jump ahead of you. You just made a note. I saw in your notes, this is sort of an end of an era.
We're approaching the end of the Acclaim era. I think Itchy and Scratchy the game is next after this, but then it sort of goes over to Fox Interactive, right?
Some Game Boy games. This is kind of the last console Simpsons game.
This happened, we came across this because when we, on patreon.com/TalkingSimpsons, but on that, we do the yearly wrap-up, and I try to look up, like, okay, what were the games that came out during the season? And in the last one for season 6, there was Itchy and Scratchy the game. And also, at the very start of the season, Bart's Beanstalk. That was it.
Yeah.
Like, the games were over. I think they let the contract lapse, and then Fox Interactive picked it back up.
I think in general, merch in this era was really slowing down for The Simpsons.
Probably.
Because it was just sort of an institution. I don't remember many books or action figures or games or anything around the mid-90s. Only towards the beginning of the aughts did I start seeing the action figures come out.
The late 90s, the adult collector got rewarded for his waiting.
Yes.
With Simpsons stuff.
Oh, yeah, I would also bet Acclaim, maybe, or just most publishers were like, well, the fad's over. The kids bought all of it. They're not going to buy games anymore. They didn't realize how much the adult gamer was into Simpsons.
Because that was the cycle of, like, most merchandising. But The Simpsons was kind of unprecedented in that it was not just for kids. It was for adults, too.
Mm-hmm.
But they were still trying to sell it like it was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, they didn't understand. But, so the one notable thing about this game, there is one notable thing. It's that it's the first Simpsons game since the arcade game to feature original voice acting. And I have Homer saying Virtual Bart, or do you have it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Virtual Bart!
So there you go.
Everything else I could construe that they took it from the cutting room floor of an episode, but that is definitely Dan Castellaneta saying Virtual Bart.
Well, yeah. Provenzano told us that, like, contractually, they couldn't take stuff from the show. They were told they had to get original stuff, so they got that stuff from Dan.
Like, and it's only Dan and Nancy doing all the voices in this game, because they seem to be the most game in terms of doing commercials and promotional stuff. I think they're just game to do any sort of Simpsons voice.
Yeah, you can hear a little bit of it in... what I do like about the game, and it still sucks, is the cutscenes or like these beautiful stark backgrounds, like giant story sequences, and the death scenes are great. And this one actually features two characters from The Simpsons. That's it. It's a great. It's a
Bart
great game
is
over.
Sick, and then gets a ha ha.
It's a great game over.
Game
sequence.
Over should be ha ha.
Yeah,
that's true.
But other than that, it's limited to stuff like this. Here's Homer. I think this is the ending, and Homer jumps in the virtual machine.
Yes, it's not exciting at all.
It's not exciting. It's looped as hell.
So Homer.
You get three words from Dan.
So, okay, wow.
He sounds like a Punch-Out character.
I forgot it went on for that long. So, yeah, it is just a stock bitmap of Homer in the VR machine as it rotates via Mode 7. Yeah, that is. There's actually two notable things about this. Mm-hmm. The voice acting and these kind of pretty cutscenes that are maybe like three frames of animation, but it's all full screen. Looks like it's from the show.
Yeah, the water slide sequences in general were like you go the wrong way and one water slide empties out over the Grand Canyon and Bart just falls out. It's good. There's some funny moments in this game.
The animation is good, and there's an intro cutscene and both a failure cutscene and a success cutscene, depending on how you do. I will note that we'll get into this later. For the baby section of the game, there is no failure cutscene because then they would have to make a joke about Bart, a dead baby. Bart is a dead baby, so they smartly did not do that.
Good idea.
That's part of the only compliment I have for this game. The Simpsons at this point has a rich well of things to draw from and make games out of. Bart's nightmare is based off of nothing. That happened in the show for the most part. But the baby section's like, you clearly were inspired with Bart swinging around the clothesline.
Right, from Lisa's first word.
Yeah, from Lisa's first word to make a level out of it.
Whoa.
In one of the later levels, the tomato level, like Skinner does his butt thing in the air.
Like, over, under, in and out.
Over, under, in and out.
So let's go over the various minigames. There are six. Ugh. So Bart's Nightmare tried a bit harder, and that's like each kind of minigame was a different experience. With this, it's like here are three bad platformers, and here are three bad games based around Mode 7 effects. In case you forget what Mode 7 is, it's like basically scaling still images to make it look like there's a perspective or that you're moving across a landscape or something like that.
Yeah, I feel like when development started on this, that the developers were enticed by how cool Mode 7 looked in other early SNES games.
Pilotwings and F-Zero kind of like came out the gate showcasing that technology.
Oh, we could kind of do this, can't we? And so they're real one-trick ponies on it.
Yes. I mean, it requires a very careful touch to make these Mode 7 effects playable into playable games, and they really failed. So let's go over the different games. None of them are named, so I just gave them stock names. So the first one, in no particular order, is Dinosaur.
Oh, wait, do you want to hear from the commercial?
Oh, let's hear it. Okay, I want to hear this.
The says what they are. I don't know if these are the official names.
I never got official names.
Nobody from The Simpsons. I don't know what this is from. I'm guessing like something Acclaim would distribute to.
It would play in your Funko Land.
Yeah, probably.
So no
like
original
that.
Animation for it.
No,
boo.
None. And not even a Simpsons voice actor.
Let's hear it.
Cheapskates.
Don't have a cow, man. Bart's stuck in a virtual reality machine and he needs your help. Enter the Jurassic era as Dinobart.
Dino?
Face a post-apocalyptic Springfield as Doomsday Bart. Or deploy your diaper chute as Baby Bart. Heck, who needs reality when you've got virtual Bart?
It is a dead baby.
I prefer reality to anything I just saw.
I would not want to live in virtual Bart if I could have reality. No.
So here are the minigames in no order. So Dinosaur is the first one. It is the worst because you're just this weird, just huge hitbox that everything is attacking. It's kind of like, it feels like an homage to the Flintstones to me because of you see all these Simpsons as cave people trying to kill Dinosaur Bart. And most of that involves them throwing projectiles at you from off screen that you can't really dodge. And like most of the platformers in this game, platforming games in this game, it's basically about scaling upwards, these very difficult to maneuver around platforms. It's very, very annoying.
The controls are terrible. And if you look at, like, there's a dude who does a non-tool assisted speed run in like 38 minutes. 15 to 20 minutes of it are on this game. A flawless playthrough.
On the dinosaur one?
On the dinosaur.
Yeah,
Dino Bart, you mean?
Dino Bart, whatever. But yeah, it is oddly enough the largest. Every one of these games has like two levels, but Dinosaur feels like it is the largest part of this.
Why did they put that much into it? And also, if you're coming. Like, Bart's Nightmare was not good, and the level where you play as a Godzilla type is not particularly good either. But at the very least, I want to be a Godzilla Bart. Yeah. I do not want to be an ugly, like, sort of raptor
it
Bart with
hideous.
A giraffe neck.
Like, Godzilla Bart looked, that level looks great. If I showed you a screenshot, like, I missed this game. It's amazing.
I would love to be Godzilla Bart. You wouldn't in Nightmare, but you think you would. And this, it doesn't even trick you into looking good.
Yeah, Dino Bart looks like it was made in Mario Paint.
That's true. It really does. And every Bart transformation is a visual downgrade. And also, like, a control. It's like everything Bart turns into controls worse than a human. So, I mean, the premise of the game is he's being tortured by VR, so it's only fair that the game is torture to play because you're experiencing Bart's hell in the VR world. Mm-hmm. So like all the other platformers in this game, you have really no way to attack things that effectively. Dino Bart can swing his tail, and there's also this power up you can grab that can kill everything on the screen. The tail swipe sucks. It's bad. It's hard to tell what you're hitting or when you can hit something, and things take way too many hits. And I think I've said my piece on Dinosaur or Dino Bart.
Yeah, I also don't like, though, design-wise, that this came out. I feel like they knew Jurassic Park was huge, so they had to have something in there.
Yes.
But Jurassic Park also should have taught the world of, like, no, dinosaurs like Bart, scientifically, their tails didn't drag. Don't draw dragging tails anymore on dinosaurs.
And they
like
had
that.
Feathers, damn it. Yeah. Come on, get it together. So next we have Pig. Bart is a pig now, for some reason, and he has to escape Krusty's slaughterhouse with his fellow pigs, and I like how morbid this is.
Yeah.
It's a slaughterhouse run by clowns.
Yeah.
Which is really creepy.
Yeah. I just assume they pulled it from, like, the Troy McClure video, The Food Chain.
Vegetarian Lisa would have loved this, but this is like 18 months, a year and 18 months before it.
It's really taken from Krusty's brand of pork products.
Yeah,
which,
it does fit with that.
Krusty gets busted.
Glistening, sizzling bacon.
That's right.
But
that's a good early Krusty voice.
Thank you. And it also, though, prefabricates the pig that Homer will adopt that was almost killed by Krusty in the Simpsons movie.
Spider Pig.
Right. Spider Pig, yes. I mean, no, it's Harry Plopper.
This is the Harry Plopper prequel.
We haven't gotten to the episode where Spider Pig comes back.
I hope to never.
So this gets so morbid to the point where if you fail at this game, the ending cutscene is Homer opening a box of corn dogs, and the last one he pulls out is shaped like Bart's head, and he eats it.
Jesus Christ.
He looks at it for a second, and he eats it anyways. So
that's horrifying.
I swear, the death scenes are funny.
This is a commentary on factory farming.
And, well, I think a corn dog is a power up you get in Dino Bart 2. Or
I think
like
it's the health up in every one of these.
Why
yeah.
draw a different corn dog?
We all know Bart loves corn dogs, based on the on the famous episodes of the show. So, so it's more complex on the dinosaur level, but in bad ways. Instead of having these huge stages where you scale upwards, you still do a lot of scaling upwards. Mm-hmm. But all of the levels are like mazes with doors that bring you to different places. You have to think of the layout, and you have to rescue pigs.
My least favorite type of platformer, with also a ton of moving platforms too,
and lots of instant death too.
Yep, tons of instant death.
Okay, so I'm getting mad talking about this. By the way, this is a big mistake, and I'm sorry to tell you guys about Virtual Bart, but it seemed good at the time, and I'll tell you. I had to delay this episode because I had just finished a day of recording. I was like, okay, time to start on Virtual Bart, take some notes. I turned it on and I was immediately so depressed.
I can't.
I had to, guys, Thursday, not Tuesday. I need a day off.
We streamed it. I could have told you. The only good thing about this game is the box art.
Oh, I played this game back in the day. I know it's bad.
Yeah, it's
I
rented
great
it.
Box art. But yeah, you played this on youtube.com/LaserTimeNetwork.
We did. And it's we tried to play all the games from 1994 in one shot because they're all bad. They're all real, real bad.
Real bad.
Bart versus the Juggernauts, though, might be the worst Simpsons game I've ever played.
It I know the soundtrack is terrible.
It's terrible. It's one lick looped over and over again.
So I think the worst minigame in this is Baby. Because for about half of this minigame, and the part of it most people will see, the music is a 15-second ice cream truck loop.
Ugh.
Oh, God.
It is maddening, especially because this entire minigame is based around you handling Bart as a baby, which, as we saw in Lisa's first word, he is just a constantly swinging object. You have to have him scale up trees and across platforms and things like that. So it is very hard to control, and again, instant death. If you touch the ground, Bart craters and dies. So
it says, "Let me out of here." So you know it's not a dead baby.
Oh, he does say, "Let me out of here."
He did in that commercial. I didn't go back and play this level. Mm.
I just remember muffled screaming when he lands head first.
Well, I mean, they at least got the good four frames of animation of him swinging. They copied that well.
The animation does look good. You can also fire pacifiers, which I could never tell which direction they were going to fire, which is very important when you're trying to kill enemies that are after you in this game.
It's too bad there's no one else in The Simpsons who's synonymous with a fucking pacifier. Jesus.
Kids don't want to play as girls. Jesus. They want to play as Bart, who's cool.
Kids want to play as babies.
Yes, yeah, they want to play as the baby version of Bart, which doesn't even look that great. He's kind of just a ripoff of Maggie, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you go through all of the backyard section, which is arduous. I never finished it on my own. And then you're in a circus with even worse music that loops even worse.
You
so
hear it?
Let's hear it.
Like better circus music is being played backwards.
It's
or a mad scientist is slowly ripping my limbs off.
God
Jesus
damn.
Christ.
Yeah.
I will point out some discontinuity in the baby scene, though. You're chased by what in strollers, Jimbo and Kearney, right? And as we all know, Kearney was alive for the centennial, so he would not have been a baby at the same time
Bart
was.
That's right. Wow, he's like 40 then.
Though that wouldn't... I don't think they aged up Kearney officially into his 30s until another season.
Yeah, something like that. So,
oh, yeah, it would have been... I think the first time was in the Lisa the Icono class of it'll be as good as our national bicentennial. Only Kearney remembers that. Really helped prepare America after Watergate.
What episode was I Sleep in a Drawer? Kearney's son.
Oh, that was Milhouse Divided. It was the divorce. They were talking about my son took his divorce pretty well. Anyway.
We know Kearney's a very complex character. So enough about the baby. It is the worst game in this Virtual Bart collection. The only thing that's funny, I guess, is it's the reappearance of Big Chief Crazy Cone. It's called Native American Ice Cream, formerly Big Chief Crazy Cone. They worked in that one reference. That's the truck you're chasing.
I'm impressed by that. Bart's Nightmare wouldn't have that kind of joke in it. They would just have Barney with a pink elephant or something.
Pretty much.
I forgot to mention, this is for Simpsons nerds only, look at the obscure character who pops up in the death sequence from Dino
Bart. It's Dr. J.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it'd been on the show in two years.
J. Lauren Pryor, who just kind of disappeared after season two, maybe season one.
Yeah, they had
one.
No use for him, except in a...
Springfield Elementary guidance counselor.
Mm-hmm. In a flashback, he will say that Milhouse is gay in a few years.
That's right. let's go on to the so we covered the bad platformers. Here are the bad Mode 7 games. So we have Mad Max.
Boo.
You are just driving in no particular direction across a landscape that doesn't really imply anything outside of just nothingness.
It's like road rage with no road.
Yes.
It's awful.
Pointless road rage. Yes.
You need some sort of like landmark or road to sell the effect. Yeah. And this does not sell the effect because it's just like... You're just driving over just a random bunch of like colors and shapes and towards apparent destination.
It has an outline of a road, but everybody drives over it. It's meaningless to drive off the road. The only thing I've played that's comparable to it, and I hope Retronauts never tackles it, is Atari Karts.
The
failed Mario Kart that Atari made for Jaguar.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
It has a Tempest level and one Atari character, but they kind of, like, bailed on the whole idea in development of, like, putting famous air quote Atari characters in it.
I have to see this.
It's awful. It's awful.
Again, the Mode 7 requires a careful touch, especially in terms of where things are around you when you're faking 3D. In this, it's really hard to tell, like, is that enemy about to hit me? Is it next to me? Like, because they didn't bother making the necessary frames of animation to imply, like, a thing coming towards you or a thing turning the right way.
Mean, even if you remember it, your memories of Mario Kart betray you sometimes, but, like, they had... That thing is, like... How big in the it's like in the center of the screen.
It's like CinemaScope aspect ratio.
Nintendo
you're looking at.
Nintendo itself couldn't figure out how to make a game run this big in Mode 7.
Well, same in the Mad Max stuff. They have to making a track would have been way tougher than what they wanted to put into it. So just have them drive aimlessly. I will say of the redesigned characters, they are my favorites.
Yeah, it is kind
of
cool.
I think the consistent look of Bart, especially the intro shot of Springfield turning into a wasteland, a nuclear wasteland, and Bart turning into like OG Mad Max.
That is cool. I do like that. Like the cutscenes are neat. And the last cutscene in this, if you win, is Bart comes home to the Simpsons house and they're all skeletons. He sits down on the couch and all the skeletons fall apart. And we don't see Krusty, but we hear him say, "Hey, surviving kids." So
that's dark.
A lot of these
man.
Have really dark endings.
Also, the Simpsons skeletons are straight out of Halloween. Treehouse of Horror 3, I believe they had the skeletons.
I think so. So the next game, the next Mode 7 game is Tomatoes. Again, based on Duffless, based on Bart throwing a giant tomato at Skinner's giant ass.
They got 3 episodes.
Yes.
It's like, well, this is slightly off topic, but I doubt we'll ever do a Retronauts micro about this one, but I watched a playthrough in quotes of Simpsons Animation Studio.
Oh, okay.
There is original animation in it that does not look good. Mm-hmm. But like looped animation of multiple characters, so you kind of paste them together to quote unquote make a cartoon, even though you don't really. But one of the looped animations is an even more indulgent on Skinner's butt shaking bent over situation.
He is Big Butt Skinner. Yeah, we all know that.
He is thick with 2 C's.
So in this game, you basically have to hit all of these students before picture day with tomatoes, and they basically just walk back and forth. And it's sort of like a golf swing meter game where a line extends outward from Bart when you hit the button, and then you decide when to throw the tomato. You can also throw to the left and the right. It's not recommended because it won't really tell you where that will land. It will tell you where it will land if you're shooting in front of you, but not to the sides. And so you basically have to hit every student and not hit the teachers.
Or Wiggum.
Or right. Wiggum, right. Any adult. Or Groundskeeper Willie, too. Mm-hmm. So.
Or Grinskeeper. Oh, no, Groundskeeper. I think in that one, in execution, it is at least the most like direct. It's like, Bart, you don't have to worry about moving around. Bart, just make this, just check this meter.
No, Bart moving around would make the game more playable because you could adjust like where you're throwing
that is true.
And, you know,
well,
who you're hitting.
That sounds difficult, though.
Sounds like it would take work. So that's Tomatoes. The last one is H2O, which is basically...
My favorite?
It looks the best, but it's also the most pointless one because it's a game based around memorization in which... Mm. You are going down the popular H2O water slide at Mount Splashmore, and at certain points, you're given a choice between two paths. Mm-hmm. Some of those lead to instant death. Memorize them and get to the end because there's no other way to tell.
That, I mean, with H2O, I like that in the intro video, they steal the gag from the episode of the long line. Just redrew that.
They put different worst characters in. Yes. Most people that worked on the game, I think. That's what it looks like.
And you can slide into Homer's taint because he's stuck somewhere in the slide.
There are several Homers trapped in the slide. I don't know how, but there are several.
Well, you pass by Krusty like 8 times.
That's true. And Santa's little helper, too.
Yes.
But it does feel like the template for an FMV game, because it's like, if this was a movie, I could just be sliding around on top of this movie image, and it wouldn't really matter.
And it could absolutely, like, it's the one that feels like it could actually be virtual. Like, it could be a virtual experience. If you just take out the Bart sprite that's sliding around the bottom of the screen, this could just be a first-person experience of yourself going through H2O.
It could be like that bad Kinect game where you could literally buy a raft to inflate in your living room.
Kinect Adventures.
Yeah. Oh, Barfaroonie.
What did Mike Grimm say for the kid with literally no imagination?
I need to be in a raft. All right, so that was Virtual Bart. Again, I don't know if this was a good idea. I hope you enjoyed our chat about it. I just remember playing it a bunch and trying to get into it, but it is sort of the end of an era for Simpsons games, and I do want to cover. I do want to eventually move on to the later eras of the Simpsons games, but I want to ask you guys, marginally better. There are more highlights, but do you think the games got better after this?
Yes.
Actually, wrestling sure wasn't.
Or skateboarding.
Not immediately.
Yeah.
And it is bizarre when you look at that trajectory. I don't know what contract Fox had, but like in the year like 2002, 2003, they are published by THQ, Activision, and EA making Simpsons games simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And they're all bad.
Simpsons games were never going to get better until they got them away from Acclaim, that's for sure.
But once they started, I think in the PS2, Xbox, GameCube era, they started aping other formulas that worked, you do get some pretty decent games.
Yeah.
But they're not great Simpsons games. This, to me, I get a little misty because it's like it's the end of the Simpsons game I wanted as a kid. I didn't really want a Crazy Taxi ripoff with the Simpsons in it, even though it's pretty okay. Mm. I wanted a platformer. I wanted to play
as Bart. I would rather play it, but then every time they gave us a platformer, it was like they either could never make a full, real platformer, or they give you Bart versus Space Mutants, which technically is one, but it's awful.
It's awful, and you didn't get another platformer until, what, 07?
Ooh, probably
06, 07?
I mean, there are a few, like, there's like some odd Game Boy Color ones and things like that. Like, there's a Treehouse of Horror game. But yeah, I mean, they weren't really big on making the platformers after this Itchy and Scratchy the game, which is barely a platformer.
It was kind of a bummer. It felt like we never got to see the Simpsons game we wanted, and they abandoned that genre entirely.
Yeah, and the last real Simpsons game was the Simpsons game, and I will say it is probably the most, like, just pure mediocrity in terms of a game, but that is still a very high bar. That's still, like, setting a very high bar in terms of what everything that came before it.
A lot of licensed games can't reach mediocrity.
Yeah.
I mean, now that is the base level that I just expect of just, like, oh, a new Turtles game? Well, I expect mediocrity. And then if it can't even reach that, then I'm like, what's even the point if you can't even reach that with your Turtles game? Like, and you can be satisfied when Platinum Games can make a slightly better than mediocre game.
I want to see a Platinum Simpsons game now.
I would fucking love that.
I do encourage people, if you find the Simpsons game in the wild, pick it up, because it will never exist again. Mm. And it is made... It is good fan service.
Yeah, the writing is really good. There's original animation, probably like an entire episode's worth, or even more of original animation.
It would never happen again, because no company would spend what EA did on a game like that. Never again.
It's horrible. It's overly long because it had to justify a $60 price point, and it sucks, and everything about it sucks. Like every play style sucks, but it has really good jokes and all, like, a new episode, like at least one and a half new episodes in there.
And I think there's at least three different versions of it. There's the PS3 Xbox one, there's the Wii one, which is a different game, and then there's the DS one, which is a different game.
And it has different jokes.
Yeah.
It has different jokes.
I guess the last thing I'll say about Virtual Bart is that it's basically Bart's Nightmare 2, where they didn't learn anything. in several ways made it worse. And that's just very disappointing. The very least, it opened up the door to hearing the voices, which, if they're going to be cheap and not pay for the song, then at least get some voices.
You're right. There's no Simpsons song in this.
As we discussed on the Bart vs. Space Mutants Retronauts, that, like, in the NES version, they paid for the song. All the rest, like, ooh, that song, Danny Elfman and ASCAP, that ain't cheap. Nah.
That's right. Nightmare didn't have it either, right?
Yep. Nope. They all just have, like, kind of similar, like, ding, 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 ding.
This one opens with a 2001 A Space Odyssey reference for some reason. Yeah. We heard it bum, bum, bum,
I do
bum.
Like the walk through the science fair. It's pretty well animated for animated sprites on a SNES.
Yeah. Good sprite work. So thanks for joining us for this discussion of virtual Barts.
We didn't hit an hour in the mini.
What's that? I know. I can't believe
it. I love talking about
crap. We hate it this much.
There's nothing. We can't talk about anything more, please. So thanks for joining us, folks. Your money helps support the show, so thanks so much. If you want to support us, go to patreon.com/retronauts. Just for $3 a month, you can get every episode like this one a week ahead of time, ad-free, and at a higher bitrate. It's a good deal. I think it works out to around 50 cents per podcast per month, so I think that's pretty reasonable.
Uh-huh.
And as for me, you can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo, and please follow us on Twitter as at Retronauts. We'd appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm H-E-N-E-R-A-Y-G on Twitter, and hey, you probably haven't heard of this, but we have a Patreon for Talking Simpsons.
What? No.
Patreon.com/Talking Simpsons, where you get every episode a week early and ad-free, where we go through the Simpsons from the beginning. Also, if you're a Futurama fan, pretty soon we're going to be starting up Talking Futurama as well, and another podcast. But as I mentioned multiple times on here, even if you are a Patreon person of Talking Simpsons, maybe you haven't heard our interview with Paul Provenzano yet. I would absolutely tell every Retronauts listener to listen to it, because not only do you get to hear about making the history of the first Simpsons games, but also just the Wild West of third-party licensed publishing in America. Like, he tells the stories of working on Marvel games, WWE games,
Aliens,
the
Die Hard trilogy,
the Action Power Hour or whatever it was called, that cartoon.
Oh, man,
Video
yes.
Power?
The, Video Power.
The,
yeah.
The acclaimed Captain N. Oh,
yes,
my God. Yeah.
I think the X-Files as well, right?
Yeah, and the X-Files game, too. You'll hear a ton about some classic video games, which I believe listeners to this care about.
Mm-hmm. I would hope so. How about you, Chris?
Well, you know I like garbage. And if you want overly long summations of pop culture minutia, that's Laser Time's a good place to go. You guys have been on a bunch of episodes, probably be in a bunch more. I don't know when this is going out, but just like Bob always says with Retronauts, it's a different topic every week. Scroll through, you'll find something you like.
For sure.
And yeah, we also have 30, 20, 10. It's a look at the world, not just games, movies, TV, music, and news. 30, 20, and 10 years ago of that week. It's a good way to relive, well, if you're my age, my entire life, according to a release schedule of things that I loved. And then there's Video Game Apocalypse. If you like more up current talk about video games, all you guys have been on it. Hosted
we
by
always
Microfars.
Talk about old games
we
on
have
DGA
to.
As well, too.
Yeah, yeah, but also new, also the new stuff we're playing, but it's a little bit of both. So check those out. LaserTimePodcast.com is your gateway, but of course, it exists anywhere you get your podcasts. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you on Monday with a brand new full-length episode. See you then.